Hi, and welcome to the Ian's Health Podcast with me, Ian Entwistle, coming to you from Leeds in the UK, and once again joined by Big James Walker. In today's episode, we discuss the usefulness or otherwise of counting calories for health and fitness. We also answer some listeners' questions regarding returning to training following illness, and also the best types of training, be it resistance work, weights, cardio, for weight loss and fat loss. I would also like to stress at this point that these podcasts are intended to help and inform, but they are only our opinions and our thoughts on the topics raised. And I would encourage anyone with any kind of health issue to see their doctor, and also to consult and search for other thoughts and other opinions on the topics we raise here. There will always be disagreements within health and fitness. There's a lot of contentious issues, and so therefore look around and get the information to help you make an informed decision. I should also say that if you'd like to get in touch to raise any questions or to give us your thoughts and opinions on anything, then please do. You can do that via the website at ianshealth.co.uk. You can also get in touch via Facebook and Twitter. Of course, once again, thank you very much for listening, and let's go and join the conversation. So what are we going to chat about today?
Calories.
So we're going to talk about calories. We've had a few questions from listeners.
God bless, jobless, yeah. The listeners.
And we're going to get to them shortly, and we're going to discuss
probably
calories.
Probably not. But, we're probably going to talk about calories for 30 minutes.
We'll do that. We'll do it all. You've just come back from Body Power. We talked about that the last one. Body Power Expo, what was that like?
It was a complete assault on the senses. I'm numb to the sight of women's asses and men's abs. It's the most bizarre place on earth.
There was so many. Have you now got a skewed version of normal?
Yeah. It's like it was like living in a strip club for 3 days, a multi-sex strip club during the day.
So for anyone who doesn't know what Body Power is, it's a big fitness,
or a strip club.
It's a big fitness convention that takes place over about 3 days. Is it?
Yeah, it's 3 days in the
NEC.
NEC, yes, it's intense.
Everything to do with the fitness industry. So there's people pushing nutrient products.
There's a lot of people with no tops on. There's a lot of people in very skimpy clothing.
Some figure shows, that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad tanning.
Yeah. So you saw a lot of big dudes all...
A lot of people inside wearing sunglasses. Jeans, shoes, belts, sunglasses, no top.
So you'd recommend it then?
It's not my cup of tea, but it was fantastic for the Samson Athletics stand. We got some real good feedback.
Look at that for a plug. Your mate will be chuffed.
Take that, Sam.
Okay.
Hashtag.
Okay.
Strong like Samson.
All right. Shameless. Okay, so what's the deal then with this calorie situation? So we've been asked questions like this before, so we are answering questions here with this, but we'll get more specifically to them in a minute. But I wrote something a while ago saying, do calories count on the website? So do they? What do you think, big lad?
I'd say yes to a certain degree when you get to a certain level, but no to the majority of people. This idea, you know, a calorie is a unit of energy. So that all calories are equal. So if you get 150 calories from a bag of carrots as opposed to 100 calories from a can of Coke, that they're exactly the same. It's nonsense.
Yeah, so the calorie theory, I suppose, in its most basic form, is like you just explained, that a calorie is a calorie no matter where it comes from.
Yeah.
In terms of its measure of energy. The problem is, and people have been taught, it forms a foundation of what many people think about weight loss, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So for example, the fact that someone might be overweight, it's not just suggested, it's stated that person is either not moving enough or they're eating too much, or both.
Yeah, but it's generally, they're eating too much of the wrong things.
Yeah, so we hear it quite a lot. I hear it a lot. I'm sure you do, from fitness people and other health experts. That people just have to eat less and move more.
Yeah, that's way too simple. It just does not work like that.
And that's where the calorie theory, I suppose, in my opinion, that's where the calorie theory is wrong. And that's not to say calories are insignificant, but to say that someone to get the the weight, the shape normal has to eat less and move more. We need to be more specific than that, don't we? It's just too much of a blanket.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like I said, it's the type of foods. If you're eating 2,500 calories of overprocessed food, so it's very easily digested, it's already partially broken down. You know, you think like baby food. It's already kind of broken down, so it's easy to digest, as opposed to you eating 2,500 calories from real food, which requires your body, you know, needs to burn energy to digest it.
Yeah.
It's going to affect you in a completely different way.
Yeah, entropy, that. The
All right.
It's known as the...
Chill out.
The requiring energy...
Yeah, GCSE for this podcast. They'll be sent in the post.
There'll be CPD credits. Requiring energy to make energy.
Right.
That is. So obviously it requires, you know, some there are some things that require more energy to break down, say, than necessarily what they, in relation to what they provide.
Yeah. So it's the same thing, kind of like if you ate a handful of peanuts, that's going to be harder for you to digest than if you ate a spoonful of peanut butter, because it's already partially broken down for you.
Yeah, well, it's been mechanically broken down at least, hasn't it?
Well, they might have been crushed by some small child's feet in a field, in an organic way.
Not by a big machine?
No. We don't need machines, we are machines, Ian. Take that.
Now, the one where we come to rely on these top-notch sound bites from you.
I'm all over it.
You're all over
it. I'm like a soundboard. I don't think I've sworn yet.
Still time. You know, we'd like Apple to welcome us back into the fold as a clean provider of podcasts, rather than some of the...
I don't think they've cracked on yet, have they?
Mustn't have. We're obviously not big enough.
Yet.
You know, we're getting bigger.
Next door's cat started listening to it now.
I know. Well, we've had loads. We've had quite a lot of contacts since the last one, actually. So, obviously...
Please stop doing them.
Oh. Obviously,
my ears are bleeding.
Obviously, the protein power controversy that we talked about last time is still a hot topic.
Hot topic.
What do you think? I mean, the thing is, because what frustrates me is if we talk about all calories being equal, which we are going to say they're not, and therefore you can't just because we just said that the calorie theory suggests that we can eat. Say if our calorie requirements are 2,000 calories, say, over a day, we can eat 2,000 calories and regardless of what it is necessarily, and that will allow us to, I don't know, crack on happily enough, won't it? But the problem I've got with a lot of this stuff is, and this is going into a different sort of topic area, is if this insinuation that someone who is overweight has clearly eaten too much. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, again, it's the type of foods, isn't it? You know, if you would say work in an office or whatever, it's like that kind of thing where people go on the lunch. So a typical lunch would be like, you know, a prepackaged sandwich, some crisps, a bar of chocolate, a can of Coke, something like that. So you're getting an abundance of calories there. So if calories are a source of energy, then surely you should be bouncing off the walls by the afternoon because you should be just full of beans because they're full of energy. But they're not. You see people... You know, kind of falling asleep at the desks, feeling like shit. There we go. Done it. Sorry. I tried. Because it's not just the calories. It's the kind of hormonal impact. It's that, you know, idea where people will be like, oh, I went out last night and I had a burger and I had three beers. So I consumed 1,200 calories. So I'm going to burn 1,200 calories on the cross trainer and everything's going to be even. You're not, because the effects that that food has had on your body, you know, through like kind of insulin, any kind of hormone levels and stuff like that, it's not going to be reversed. It's not as simple as that.
Yeah. So
it's just not that simple.
No, if only it was, we wouldn't have an issue on our hands. I mean, the other thing I think as well is if we're saying not all calories are the same, and the big issue we're going to say is that it's therefore the impact that those calories have on you, have on your body, have on your, like you say, your hormone levels. And because we know to a large degree, so many things, most things are dictated to by hormones, aren't they? You know, so, you know, how someone feels, what energy someone has.
Yeah, of course.
You know, what they're capable of doing, how much muscle someone grows, you know, all these things are controlled by hormones. So if we have an impact on that, you know, it's so simplistic to say that, you know, because we're treating us like a machine, even though we are machines.
Of course. You know, rise of the machines.
We're not a combustion engine that takes a certain amount of energy in and can do a certain amount of work from that. There's many more complex. We're not a closed system.
Well, yeah, I always, you know, I mean, without wanting to refer back to cars all the time, it's the same thing. If you put like a real poor source of, like, say, oil in your car or fuel or something, it's not going to work as well. Even though it's the same, you know, fuel or same, it's oil, it's just not as good.
Yeah, and it's not going to do the job.
You're going to be coughing and spluttering.
There you go.
So, chitty bang bang.
So we're not sure about that. So if we go on to a slightly different topic, what I just said it then about this judgment on fat people being that they eat too much. What do we think about that? Do you think it's as simple as that?
Again, no. It's the impact. I say it's the source of the food.
Who would you blame then?
I blame the marketing.
Do we have to blame anyone?
Well, can we?
Yeah, we can.
No, it's poor education and it's clever marketing. Don't make me start talking about Belvita breakfast biscuits again.
No, they're onto us. I mean, the thing about it is,
he eats them, found them in his house.
Does he?
Disgusted.
Oh, break all ties.
I was appalled. I nearly went to work for a bear strength.
Yeah, break all ties, man. the problem I have with that is there are so many more factors that are involved. Like, for example, if you see, would we blame a child? If we see an overweight child, would we blame that child for being overweight?
No, of course not.
Because what's your kid going to go for if you're offering him a cream egg or a stick of broccoli?
Or an egg.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's he going to go for?
Again, but it's because it plays and, you get all these people that are like, oh, I'll never give my kids this and never give my kids that. It comes down to the kind of market and stuff, isn't it?
And what's available and what, and the other thing is as well, we know more often than not, overweight, obese children grow into overweight, obese adults.
Yeah.
And so therefore, if we're not going to blame the child necessarily, do we think, for example, you are right, I've not had a weight issue in my life so far, and it's putting me on a level playing field with someone who has that. It's suggesting that I've been kind of done the right things in my life, yeah, and this person hasn't. What if that person has been heavy as a little kid, and then, they're still heavy as an adult? They've got more of a task on their hands than I have.
Yeah, of course.
And I think that's where there's a massive imbalance and a misjudgment by people. And when people like Coca-Cola say things like, you can have it as part of a calorie controlled
diet.
Yeah,
as long as you move more.
Yeah. It's farcical, and that's where I think people still like to, there's so many people like to make a judgment and just think, in good shape, disciplined, in bad shape, ill-disciplined, and eating too much.
Yeah, I think that idea that kind of like, people are overweight and lazy and stuff like that, a lot of them, like I said, just don't know they're doing stuff wrong. That's why kind of like Slimming World, Weight Watchers and all this kind of stuff, it's a successful business because that's what people got to rely on, lose a bit of weight, it's not sustainable,
yeah,
go off track, put the weight back on, or what did I do before when I lost that weight? Oh, I'll go back to Slimming World. It's designed to fail.
Yeah, and it thrives on that on that failure, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is like the only business model I can think of.
Kind of that shame. Yeah. Well done, you lost 2 pounds. Oh, what happened? You gained a pound this week.
Yeah, yeah. It's a shame, isn't it? That and they do so well with it, and they kind of, they peddle like this product. And then you have this sort of things they can sell as well.
Yeah. Well, look at Weight Watchers, like you're selling some kind of Frankenstein pudding.
Yeah.
It's full of crap.
But it fits in and it's only this many points or whatever it is.
Aye.
That's it, isn't it? I don't know what you do, though, for the education. I mean, it's quite a big job, isn't it?
It's kind of like, third generation people who can't cook, don't know anything about nutrition, because it's easier to go and get something and shove it in the microwave than it is to, kind of make something from scratch.
Yeah, and that's the issue. I mean,
and it's cheaper as well. A lot of things, kind of people question why, real food is so expensive. Don't do that. Question why shit food is so cheap.
So yeah, your cheap food, your garbage food, should we say.
Yeah, but it's cheap for a reason. It's cheap because it's full of shit. Because the meat that's in it is from a poor source that's been treated badly, that's been fed shitty food itself, and then kind of looked after in bad conditions and pumped full of antibiotics so it don't get infected. It's not, you know, kind of some fresh lamb running through the fields, jumping up and down all happy, eating grass. It's something that's been stuck in a cage or kind of stuck in a massive big factory.
Yeah.
I mean, fed shit.
So that if we're going to, we've said this before, if you listen to any of the podcasts we've done, you'll get this message. What we're going to say is, so, I mean, you can add to this, James, if you want. I think calories aren't insignificant, of course. So if you were to eat 10,000 calories or something, you know, good, you're going to have an excess of energy. And
yeah,
you will therefore lay down fat in those circumstances, to be simple about it. But I think the point we would like to get across is that it's not as much the number of the calories as what the calories are.
First, you need to get all kind of shitty foods out of your diet and just eat real foods first. Yep. That'd be the first thing. Get your nutrients up.
Yeah.
You know, get used to eating, you know, real food, preparing your own real food. That's what I do for kind of like the first month, is just get people eating real food, yeah, you know, three times a day, you know, at least, depending on obviously on the kind of size. And then you can start kind of looking at changing the meals around. And then, you know, you get to the stage where if weight loss was still an issue, then you start looking at kind of maybe counting calories and stuff like that. But the calories are from a good source.
Yeah, because, you know, there's so many more things that impact in what you, how you feel and how you are and how your body is going to handle things when you're eating the correct things. You know, if you're eating things like, you know, sugar, bread, those kind of, you know, refined carbohydrates, you want them. You crave for those things,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, because your body's designed to do that. Yeah. You crave for kind of like fat, sweet, salty,
yeah,
foods.
That's right, yeah. And so we have to kind of, you have to get over that issue first to start, you know, doing things the correct way, because, you know, while you're having that rubbish, you're always going to want it. And, you know, you have to get through that.
Got to get through this.
Yeah. So calories not insignificant, but not the main issue, I would say. You
definitely
know, more what they are.
The sauce.
Exactly, yeah. So hopefully we've given our opinion anyway on that. Couple of questions then.
Couple of questions. Here we go. Hit me.
First one. We've had contact from Jen, long time listener.
Contact.
Long time listener. First time caller.
We have made contact.
That's your words. They're your words then. Long time listener. First time caller. She's had a situation lately where she's had a bout of glandular fever. And she's struggling a bit now she's struggling in knowing what to do to get back into the training.
Right.
So probably if we give it a little bit of background, it says obviously glandular fever, it's caused by a virus. Do you know that?
So I believe it's referred to as the kissing disease.
Yeah, because that's one of the ways you can.
I've not really heard of it since I was like a teenager.
No, you can catch it with
kissing.
I understand. Yeah, it's in the saliva, so coughing, that kind of thing.
Jen.
It's the Epstein-Barr virus, I believe.
Oh yeah, that's what I was about to say.
I think you can encounter it as a child and not necessarily see any symptoms, but it can develop into this glandular fever situation. It tends to do it in young adults.
Yeah, because my mate, shout out to Matt the shit. He had it and he kind of used it as an excuse for his teenage years to be stoned.
Right.
Because he's just really fatigued. So he just used to go to bed all the time. So unless she's using that for an excuse to be stoned.
No, I'm sure she's not. So yeah, like I said, people normally get it as a child, and it causes very mild symptoms, if any. Symptoms some people get when they do get it with this kind of fever is swollen glands, the tonsils, liver and spleen. It can be pretty bad. The question that people have, that people struggle with, is it does tend to knock people out after that. Yeah. You know, when they're getting over it, and for someone who is active and who wants to resume that level of activity afterwards, it can be quite a difficult one. And to be honest, it's quite difficult probably for us to give a bit of an answer. Probably should say we're not experts in this area. Maybe.
Well, you can say that. I'm definitely not expert.
I think it's a difficult one. I know people have had it. My nephew, who's you could call him an athlete. He's had a bout of it. It's knocked him out from going to the gym. I think Heather Watson, the tennis player.
Never heard of her.
I think she You need to read some stuff, man. I tell you.
I just haven't watched some tennis.
I think it caused a lot of problems for her season. I think a year or two ago, in that she couldn't perform anything like the kind of level. I think probably the thing is, I mean, it brings it back to if you get anything really. I mean, it's a quite a personal thing in knowing what levels you can be at again. The danger with something like glandular fever is that I understand it can really knock people back if they go too hard too soon with their training.
I think it's the same with anything, isn't it? Any kind of recovery, you know, I think it's one of those things that's often overlooked is the stress that your body goes through. And then people still kind of try and train through a lot of stuff when sometimes you need to kind of take a bit of a back step, do a bit of a deload.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're just coming in and going through the motions a little bit and see how your energy levels are, it's very tempting to jump straight back into where you are.
Yeah.
But like I say, if your body's fighting something, like even like a cold or flu or, you know, kind of glandular fever, then you need to just back off a little bit.
Yeah, I think you've said there what I think probably as well, if you've trained for a good few years, I've trained, and I think you kind of, you know your body a little bit, don't you, when you've done it for a fair bit, like when you get a bout of the dreaded man flu or something like that. I think in the past sometimes I've tried to go through it, and sometimes you've gone through it and it obviously wasn't anything major.
Yeah.
And other times you go through it, you do something on the Monday and that's it, you're done for.
Yeah, I mean, generally, obviously it's not glandular fever, but if I have like a cold or something like that, if I feel like training, then I'll train, but if I don't, then I won't force myself to.
Yeah.
I'll just kind of back off, make sure my food's up, you know, getting lots and lots of nutrients in, and then just make sure you're getting plenty of rest. Like I said, it's just that.
Yeah, I mean, this obviously, you know, this is obviously isn't an area of our expertise, but we've all got ill and we've all tried to resume training. I think probably, like you just said, I think the big thing is if you're in a state where you can go back into the gym or you feel you can, is probably to go through the motions, like you said, rather than
nice,
you know,
and steady.
Yeah, completely.
Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Completely err on the side of caution.
Got a bit musical today. Keep on quoting songs.
I know. Less swearing as well. Maybe we're going to go down that route.
A bit fatigued. I've just trained.
Don't train too hard.
Never. Sniffles.
So I think that's probably the advice I would. It's difficult if you struggle with your own body a little bit. I feel like I know when I can do something or not and when to lay off. But I think in that situation, certainly something as what could potentially be serious as glandular fever is certainly to go less.
Yeah,
before you then step it up gradually, couldn't you then?
Yeah, if you're keeping your keeping your food on track.
Yeah,
you know, being extra tight with that, and if you're coming in and just doing a bit of movement, you know, just come in, do a bit of foam rolling, do some kind of bodyweight movement, you know, a bit of stretching stuff,
and
like
see
that.
How your body responds
to
that.
Yeah, and then you know, see how you feel the next day.
Yeah,
don't just come in and try and max out on deadlifts, cleans, and presses and sprints and the like.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not like, you know what. Because it's, you know, it'd be a real shame, wouldn't it, then to come in, do that, thinking you've got to get back into it, to then be knocked out for however long. And that I understand from what I read is a real danger with something like glandular fever, is that people do come back, do too much, and then that's it for months, potentially.
Yeah, well, like I say, you know, kind of going on to, it's one thing that I think really holds people back is that kind of not respecting stress. You know, you get people kind of getting 4 hours sleep, working for 12 hours, come at the gym, you know, drinking a lot of coffee, doing a massive workout. And all you're doing when you're doing that workout is putting your body under more stress.
Exactly, and going back to the hormone thing, they're all over the place in that situation. I always said that, actually, we should probably do another podcast on this.
Oh, here we go, set up the next one.
You know, we talk about exercise quite a lot, and we talk about food, probably, I would say, more important than exercise, but more important than them two, I would say, is sleep.
Yeah,
which
the old recovery.
Which hardly ever gets touched on. And it's you know, I would say sleep, nutrition, exercise in that order, probably.
Look at you go.
What do you reckon? That's my top tip.
Put
a hashtag on that. Go and read up on that. Okay, another question. Quite a standard question. This that you've heard before is that we've had Katie's been in touch, and she has said she wanted to know. She's done well. She's lost some weight, but she wants to know what would be the best combination of weights, cardio, foot to optimize weight loss, basically?
Right.
And it's what we, I mean, I suppose this is the kind of thing we see all the time, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of variables, so it's that kind of like...
Does she need to bother doing cardio? That's my question.
No. I said no.
Okay, so I tell you what then. I know what you're going to say here, aren't you? she's for weight loss. We this comes back to another podcast we've done, isn't it? She wants to gain muscle, doesn't she?
Always. No one ever complained about getting strong.
Yeah, and she wants fat loss, doesn't she?
Yep.
That's what she's trying to tell us when she says she wants weight loss. She wants fat loss, doesn't
Chop
she?
Chop your leg off if you want to lose some
exactly.
weight.
Exactly. So therefore, best way of doing that, other than the food, I think she's got her food on track, is going to be...
resistance training.
Yeah, the resistance training.
Yeah.
Do you think you should combine resistance training with cardio then in this situation?
Yeah, I don't mind throwing it. Like, generally, kind of like my workouts, I'll do the resistance training for like maybe kind of like, you know, 30, 40 minutes, depending on what I'm doing. And then throwing some kind of high intensity training at the end. So whether that's kind of intervals on an airdyne bike or the rower or, yep. you know, like a bodyweight circuit or, you know, prowler pushes or something like that.
So for people who wouldn't know, so interval meaning you would go intense, you know, towards a sort of high intensity effort for a fixed period of time yep. with a rest.
So yep. heart rate's up and down, up and down, up and yep. down. So you're putting like loads of demand on your body. It's going to keep those calories burning, keep your metabolism revved up as well. If I had unlimited time, then I might, you know, do a bit of long, slow, distance stuff as well. So just kind of like a steady bike ride or a steady row, or, you know, just go for a long walk and stuff like that as well. But, you know, most people are too busy. That'd be like, you know, a little bit of extra.
Yeah. And you probably want to, they're the kind of things you want to try and incorporate into your daily living, isn't
yeah.
it? The walking, just so walking more. The dog, walking to work, those things, that kind of low intensity,
what you want to do
cardio,
is
yep.
download a good podcast
yeah.
and go out for a nice long walk.
Can you think of any?
Phil Lurdy, Vancouver.
You had an opportunity. You had an
You're
opportunity.
Already listened to this.
You had an opportunity. Maybe on a walk. Or maybe sat down doing something, shouldn't be. Okay, right. So, first and foremost, we'd say resistance work is a priority. We can check back. You can check back on that in other podcasts. We talk about that. And then, you know, if you're going to do probably the best cardio in the gym would be the more intense stuff.
Yeah,
if you're able to do that.
If you're starting off, start off with just kind of 20, 30 seconds fast and then kind of like 40 to 60 seconds recovery, you know, kind of 6 to 10 sets of that. It will do you right, and then the kind of the fitter you get, then you'll increase the time that you're exercising and then decrease the rest time as well.
And you would say, of course, to do the cardio after the
yeah.
weights, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you want to be fresh as you can for the weights.
Yeah.
And
it's
then
most demanding the weights, isn't it,
yeah,
in terms of neurologically,
kind of
yeah.
You know, you want all your glycogen ready for your training and stuff like that, so you don't want to be burning all your energy systems.
Yeah, so you do your cardio afterwards.
Just to put the boot in.
Exactly, yeah, at the end.
Kick the fat while it's down.
Good, well, I think we've answered our questions. And also, I should probably mention, we've gone on the road again
on
today.
On the road and, again!
And I think demands are being made for the space we're in.
Out.
So we need to get out of this echoey room. nice one, big lad. We'll be back again.
Don't forget to, if you enjoyed it, share it on Facebook and Twitter. Come on, Ian, do your job for you.
Thanks, buddy.
You can find me on Facebook, Renegade PT, or Twitter at Renegade_PT. I'm also on Instagram now. I've got about 5 pictures up.
Oh, Instagram.
I don't understand it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I don't get it.
Oh, man. Are you going to be one of these guys posting pictures up of yourself constantly?
I don't think so. I've got a Nokia. I can't even get Instagram on that. It's on
right,
my iPad.
Good. That should be self-limiting, hopefully, then. yeah, and obviously you can get in touch with me at ianshealth.co.uk. You can get in touch via the website. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter from there as well. If you have any questions for future podcasts, we do try and answer all of them.
Skidoosh.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks. Later.